The formal process of recognition of the State of Palestine takes place today. The Palestinian flag will be flown at Leinster House and there'll be dual statements this evening. The formal confirmation begins at Cabinet this morning when Tánaiste Ó Micheál Martin will seek government approval for the move, which will establish full diplomatic relations between the two countries. For more on the Palestinian recognition and other Cabinet business, we'll speak shortly to our political correspondent Micheál Lehane. But first, our reporter Ethna Dodd asked Palestinians living in Ireland for their reactions to the move, and she began by speaking with Muna Sibila in Dublin.
As a Palestinian living in Ireland, a country that I love very much, it was quite emotional for me to learn that Ireland has decided to recognize Palestine. But the emotions come from a lot of different places. It is welcome to know that Ireland now recognizes Palestine. But given everything that's going on right now, what is really needed right now is sanctions.
My name is Ibrahim Abushaban. I've lived in Ireland my whole life, but my family background is from Palestine, Gaza. This recognition of Palestine should have came long before. But yeah, it's something I'm really grateful for anyway. And I'd always consider myself always happy to be around the Irish people because they've always seen Palestine as a state, especially with Ireland's history. So they understand the pain of the Palestinians.
And you mentioned you have family in Palestine. What do you think they'll think of this?
The first thing when Ireland, Spain and Norway announced this, our family group chat actually popped off about this, how like Ireland recognized, like our family that are actually in Gaza as of now, we got texts from them. We're like, oh, we're getting recognized as a state. So they're happy themselves.
My name is Roisin El Sharif. It's great, and every step to freedom is welcomed, but it's also not enough. What we need to do also is be placing sanctions on Israel. The Irish community that has come out since November, October to protest is very strong and in very strong solidarity with the Palestinian people and their plight. But I think Irish politics can do a lot better. There's a lot of nice solidarity sentiment, rhetoric in Irish politics and no movement. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, for Irish politicians to actually put their money where their mouth is.
I'm Sahar Hawande. I'm a Palestinian Jordanian and I've been living in Dublin, Ireland for the past 3.5 years. I think it's quite a historic step, and I'm very proud to live in a country that's willing to show such political courage amid all the intimidation, amid all the pressure. I'm so glad the government went through with it. There's already about 140 countries that recognize Palestine as a state, but it's very important that it comes from the heart of Europe, from the heart of the EU. I think it sends a message that positions are changing now, but I also think it would not have happened if not for all the amazing people that have been campaigning, rallying, marching the streets of Dublin and Ireland. Despite this being a very important step, I think it should be translated into action. There are so many steps that we could take here in Ireland that could contribute and improve the situation for Palestinians.
Reporter Ethna Dodd speaking to Palestinians in Dublin. For more now, we're joined by our political correspondent Micheál Lehane. Micheál, will you talk us through the choreography of today's events on recognition of the State of Palestine?
Yeah, I suppose the formal process gets underway now, and it begins at Cabinet when the Tánaiste and Foreign Affairs Minister Micheál Martin brings the official memo in. And what it does is establish full diplomatic relations between the State of Palestine and Ireland. And that essentially means that the Palestinian representative here will become an ambassador and the mission here becomes an embassy. I suppose there is a degree of ceremony around that that will follow a formal request then to appoint an ambassador from the Palestinian Authority. And that, of course, then would ultimately require a nod from President Michael D. Higgins. So there will be a degree of ceremony around that when that happens. But today, too, it will mean that the Irish mission in Ramallah is upgraded to an embassy and the representative there becomes an ambassador as well. So that's the bit that kind of gets the approval from Cabinet. Then later on in the Dáil, several hours have been set aside for statements on the recognition, and all the while, for the first time, a Palestinian flag will fly at Leinster House.
Any concerns being voiced politically, Micheál, about pushback from Israel? The Israeli ambassador to Ireland warning that the Irish move is worrying Israeli investors in the Irish tech sector.
I think in some ways the government here was braced for this, and certainly the public utterances from the Taoiseach and others in the last 24 hours describing this as a distraction would seem to say there is a degree of assurance and confidence about the government's move as it proceeds. It doesn't seem unduly worried, and I suppose there is a changing climate all the time around this. Yes, Ireland, Spain and Norway are the ones who have formally moved to recognise Palestine, but of course the changing environment means that the EU considering sanctions for the first time against Israel shows that there is a changing view at EU level as well. So for all those reasons, I don't think there is undue concern in government about what the ambassador has said.
There is other business, of course, at Cabinet today, notably a plan being brought to Cabinet to produce zero carbon homegrown gas from grass and organic waste. Now, this is something we'll hear more about from Joe McCreally later on in the programme. But can you tell us what happens at Cabinet today?
Yes, there's quite a lot happening at Cabinet today when it comes to climate and the environment, and that is one of the issues up for discussion. This essentially would mean that if the climate implementation plan was fully delivered, then biomethane, which is gas that's developed from plant material, animal slurry and food waste, that could ultimately, over a 15-year period, provide up to 50% of the required gas in the country. And it would mean that farmers could develop plants to produce this gas, develop units to produce it. It's an ambitious plan. I think there's an opening fund of about 40 million to try and get moving on it. I suppose overall, though, there are some worrying findings going to Cabinet, which are being brought by the Green Party leader and climate minister, Eamon Ryan, talking about tipping points and how already things are in bother in many ways, and warning too that rising sea levels could ultimately mean that funds that would be earmarked for health and education and housing in the past, they could ultimately be needed now for flood defence walls. But he will say too that if the climate plan is fully implemented, well, then the challenge can be met head on. But of course, those confidence sounding words do come against the backdrop of those EPA findings today that things really still haven't got going when it comes to trying to reach those climate targets.
Also at Cabinet, Justice Minister Helen McEntee seeking the nod or government approval for the renewal of the Offences Against the State legislation. Will there be any pushback on that?
No, I suppose this is a hardy annual in many ways. It's interesting, though, because, of course, the legislation and in particular the Special Criminal Court, the non-jury court, that has been reviewed in recent times. And while there were two reports, a majority and a minority one, there was a finding that it should have greater checks and balances. Now, when this has come to a vote in the Dáil last year, Sinn Féin has tabled its own amendment seeking to have the findings of that review fully implemented before it would support the legislation, so it abstained. But the government still reviewing those findings, and it doesn't seem like they're going to act on them anytime soon. The Justice Minister saying there is a threat from dissident Republicans, there's a threat of international terrorism, as well as big criminal gangs who are operating internationally.
Finance Minister Michael McGrath with us a little later, but Heather Humphreys has business at Cabinet today. Pathways to Work strategy, what's that about?
This is about the number of people who are long-term unemployed. About 50,000 have been identified, and essentially there are moves to try and get those who are long-term unemployed back into work, whether through education or other ways. And that will involve fortnightly meetings with officials or with people who are trying to secure those education courses or jobs for them. Now, if it doesn't happen and people don't engage, well, I think their welfare is likely to be reduced. That's what the minister will tell Cabinet this morning. And already over the course of this year, about 3,000 people have had their welfare rates reduced because of this initiative.
Mm. And the big television election debate last night was the Limerick mayoral election, with all candidates taking part in that televised debate on Upfront with Katie Hannan. How did they get on?
This was different to the other debates that have taken place in the European election in particular. The debate was fairly intense at times, but by and large there was a mannerly tone to it all. There were many interjections, but few were bruising. I think housing was the big issue, unquestionably, and the proposals were many and varied in relation to how more housing could be built in Limerick. All candidates, it seems, has a plan to deliver on that. One of them, John Moran, the former head of finance, now an independent candidate, said that it did require private investment. Some groans from the audience about that, especially when he spoke about the need for foreign capital in the past when the country was facing a dire situation during the economic crisis. Others believe that it should be public funding to build those houses in Limerick. But if there is a dominant issue in that Limerick mayoral contest, it is housing.
Micheál Lehane, our political correspondent. Many thanks for that.